Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
All right. Well, if you would go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 18. As I say, almost every week, if you need a Bible, if you do not have a Bible, please come see me after the service and we can get one into your hands. Now, most of you have heard the rule of real estate, famously stated, location, location, location. Well, the Bible, reading it and understanding it, has its own set of rules. Just as simply stated, context, context, context. And that context of this morning's passage is quite important for us to understand what Jesus is saying and then how we then apply it to our lives today. Jesus has been teaching about eternity, and he's been teaching about the coming and the present kingdom of God. Well, remember the definition I introduced last week, what the kingdom of God is. It is God's people in God's place, under God's rule. And then due to those teachings, Jesus was asked first by the Pharisees and then by the disciples, essentially, when, where? We want to see this kingdom. Please let us see this kingdom. We don't see it around us. We want to see this. And so that's what we looked at last week. Jesus' response to them. Don't worry about the when. You know it will happen. Be prepared for it to happen. Prepare others for it to happen. And don't worry if you haven't seen it happening yet. It is coming. And that brings us to this week's passage. So Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version, and I greatly encourage you to follow along in your preferred translation. Luke 18, 1 through 8, the Holy Spirit inspires Luke to record the words of Jesus. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally, he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' The Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" May God bless the reading of his holy word. I think I might have skipped a part, but I think I copied over a different translation than my usual ESV. So, but we see this, and there's some interesting things about this passage. First, this parable, the first interesting thing about this parable is that Luke tells us right up front what the point of the parable is. Often we don't get the point or the explanation of the parable until after Jesus tells the parable, if we get it at all. There's a number of times that Jesus says, "No, I'm not going to tell you what it means. If you know, you know, and if you don't, you don't." And so Luke tells us up front what the point of this parable is, why Jesus taught this. Now, we remember that parables have one main point. Parables are not designed for us to break down and scrutinize every detail of the story. And the main point of this parable, pray always and do not lose heart. Now, we look at this, and I ask that we remember some of the basic rules of biblical understanding, of biblical study. These are not in any order, but first, the text can only mean one thing. Now, as R.C. Sproul says, there may be 10,000 applications of that one meaning, but there can only be one meaning. The text can only mean what it means. Second, as I mentioned at the beginning, context, context, context. And third, the text can never mean what the original author never meant. So what Luke meant when he wrote this, what Jesus meant when he said this, is what the meaning of the text is. It doesn't change for today. It doesn't change for the times. Again, the application of how we use that can change and can be varied. But the actual meaning of the text does not change. It meant one thing when it was said, and that's the same thing it means today. And so whatever else we do with this passage, whatever applications we bring out of this, it has one meaning. Always pray and never lose heart. The context in this parable comes right after telling the Pharisees and his disciples that the kingdom is coming. Not to worry about when and to keep looking and to be prepared. And so Jesus tells this parable. He says, there's this judge. He wasn't God-fearing, so you can't appeal to this judge based on a sense of right and wrong. He was not man-fearing, meaning you couldn't appeal to his heart, his compassion, his love for people, the things that a judge is supposed to have if they're rightly qualified to do the job. He only cared about himself and his power and his position. He only cared about his authority. He cared only for himself. And then along comes this widow. Now she represents in this parable all of us at certain times in our lives, but especially the poor, the needy, the oppressed. Us when we are going through those times that somebody has sinned against us and we see no repercussions or consequences. When things like that have happened, when injustice has been done, this widow is looking and seeking for justice, for the wrongs to be righted. She is coming, she's going to the judge and saying, this wrong has happened. Give rightness to the situation. And the judge wouldn't help her. He didn't care one bit. He didn't care about her situation. But she kept coming, kept asking, kept persisting. This was her only weapon against the injustice that was done to her. She kept crying out to him, give me justice against my adversary. And for a while, he did resist. She saw no advancement for her cause. She saw no justice taking place. She saw her adversary, whatever her situation was not facing consequences, was not being punished for what they did. She didn't see anything happening. The judge didn't care about her plight or her cause or about justice at all. However, she was an annoyance to him. She was bothering him. And so, to get some peace for himself, to get her to stop bothering him, he finally gave in and he gave the widow justice. Now, again, we don't know her specific situation because we're not meant to know her specific situation. As a parable, this wasn't an actual historical story. It's meant to be broadly applied. So what in our lives is taking place, what in the people around this world that is taking place where there is an injustice happening, being persistent in trying to achieve justice in those situations. Now, something to point out, not all who give justice, not all who stand up to injustice or make a decision that's on the right side, like this judge eventually ended up doing, not all who agree with God's people on moral or ethical grounds are actually on God's side. We have to be careful of that. Somebody can have the right view. This thing that you guys say, that we say is wrong, sure, I agree that that's wrong. Let's fight together. And that's fine. Uniting against a common thing. That doesn't mean that they're automatically on God's side as well. We see that a lot today in politics, that politics makes strange bedfellows. If somebody is standing up saying, hey, I believe this is wrong, or I believe this is the right way to do this, or I believe that whatever it is, that happens to align with, hey, we think this is wrong, or we think that's right, Well, guess what? We prop them up higher than they should probably go. We assume a measure of faith in them that is not shown in their lives. We make excuses because they happen to be fighting for the same thing that we're fighting for at that moment. And that's not the case. This judge was not on God's side. This judge was an unjust judge. He was annoyed into giving this woman justice. So he did not care about it. He did not have a measure of faith. He did not have anything that we should then be excusing. But in the end, this widow succeeded. She wore him down. She broke him. She got on his nerves enough for him to throw in the towel. Justice has prevailed in that situation. Now, to be clear in this parable, God is not this judge. That is not the point of this. He's not making a comparison of go to God like you go to this judge, because eventually you'll be able to break God down. You'll be able to wear him down. You'll be able to annoy him enough that he'll finally go ahead and grant you this prayer. That's not what it says. That's not what he's saying here. If anything, he's saying the opposite. He's saying, and we'll get to this, if even this guy will eventually break down and give justice, how much more so will the good God with perfect justice, who wants to grant that, who will grant that in eternity eventually, how much more should we be praying to that God, to our God? How much more? So the point of this is not that God is this judge that we have to annoy and break down and wear down. Instead, verses 7 and 8 speak of God. So Jesus says, he will hear his people. God will grant justice. He will dry every tear. He will right every wrong. He will heal every pain. He will answer those prayers, not all prayers. He will answer those prayers that we hold deep in our hearts, the prayers for justice to be done, the prayers for his return, the prayer for the kingdom to manifest, the Lord come quickly prayers. God will hear those. He will hear the cry and the anguish from his people, and he will answer those prayers. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working. However, we also remember it is God's justice, which means that it is God's timing, which means that it is from God's perspective, which means that it is entirely up to him. And so, because we can't control God's actions and responses and timing, be persistent. Always pray. Never lose heart. Stay faithful. You have been told that it will happen. So we trust in that. We have faith in that. We believe that. Though some will come along and say that God, he hasn't come back yet. He hasn't granted justice in this situation yet. He's still not here. It's been 2,000 years, and you keep saying he could be any day now, and he's not yet. It can be easy to get downhearted. It can be easy to get frustrated. It can be easy to question, why, God? When? But he says it is going to happen. In God's perfect timing, God's perfect justice, God's perfect love, mercy, all of it, God's perfect will manifest and take place when God decrees that it will happen. Amen. And so we work towards that. Jesus is not telling us that we are to sit back, kick our feet up, and wait for Jesus to come back so that then justice will be granted. We are to be active in pursuing it here today like the widow was. And if you see injustice take place, if you see someone being oppressed or held down, if you see wrongs taking place, being done against somebody, if you see abuse happening, if you see these things, it is your responsibility as an ambassador of Christ, as a child of God, and as a decent human being to stand up and fight for those who are not able to stand up and fight for themselves. It is your responsibility to stand up, to help people be treated as the image bearers of Christ that they are. We do not only stand up for injustice when it is done to other Christians, but we are to stand up against injustice anywhere and everywhere. I wrote this as a shorter sermon. You're going to see that when we finish up here in a little bit. But I did that specifically because there's a lot of application in here that is incredibly personal. I'll touch over a broad covering of that in a moment. But I want you guys to, as you leave from this, as you listen to this, as you take this passage of Scripture to heart, what does that look like in your life? For you personally, starting there, what injustice has been done to you? What wrongs have been done to you? What things are you looking at in your life that you maybe you've given up looking for justice. Maybe you're seeking vengeance instead of justice. Or maybe you need to be encouraged now to keep pursuing that justice. Maybe you were on the wrong end. You were giving that wrong to somebody. You did something wrong to somebody. And this passage is here to say, go back to that person. Make it right. Be on the receiving end of that. As God says clearly throughout Scripture, that is your responsibility to go and make it right with those you have wronged. It could be your family. It might not be you personally, but in your family, that things have been done to different members of your family from other members of your family. It could be friends. It could be workmates, schoolmates, class, whatever. It ripples out until we're looking at it worldwide. It could be people in our community, our neighbors, that you see having a situation that's not right and is unjust. Our job is to do what we are able to do to help try to pursue justice in those situations. And so I left it purposely vague as I wrote this, but I want you guys to look for the personal. Look for how this is talking to you specifically, what you have gone through, what you are seeing others around you going through. Because whether or not we see success in this life and in this world, we are called to pursue that. We are called to do what we can for that. But we also see that we are not the one who determines the success and whether that justice is then granted. Whether we see success in this life and in this world or not does not change that ultimate and perfect justice will be granted and achieved in God's timing. And so the other side of that, if you are a victim of injustice, abuse, wrongdoings, don't hear that line especially as a reason to give up. Just because it's not saying, oh, it's going to happen in eternity perfectly, does not mean that we stop pursuing it today. This parable shows that we are to continue to fight and pursue justice, that God will ultimately grant it, and that it will be greater and eternal justice when he does. But it does not say to stop pursuing it today. We remember, too, as I briefly mentioned, that we are looking for justice, not vengeance. And the difference in that is key. The motivation behind doing what we do to right wrongs. The Lord is very clear. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He will repay. We are not to repay. We are not to seek vengeance. We are to seek justice. And sometimes that's a small difference, that line. Sometimes the black and white is clear, but sometimes with certain things, when you get closer to that line, it starts to get gray, starts to get fuzzy, starts to get harder to tell. So be aware of that. If as you move forward in these sorts of things, as you pursue the righting of wrongs, that it is so easy to slip from pursuing justice to seeking vengeance. So the more you are aware of that ahead of time, the more that you can to recognize in yourself when that will take place. Jesus finishes up this passage and he asks, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? And that's the question. That's what it all comes down to. God is not the one who will be answering questions when we stand before him. And I don't think it's wrong to think of those questions, but we all stand around and we think of those questions that God should give us an answer to when we get to heaven. I'm going to ask him why this. I'm going to ask him how that. I'm going to ask him. It's fine to have those questions. I'm not saying don't think of those things, but God's not the one who owes us an answer. He can choose not to answer any question he wants, even in heaven. We will know more then than we do now. But he does not owe us knowledge of anything. And so the truth is that we will be the one answering questions. And there really is only one question that will matter. When he looks at us, when we stand before him, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? Will he find it in you? Will he find faith in you like he found in Noah? Will he find faith in you like he found in Lot? Will he find faith in you like he did in this widow? Or will he find you outside the faith? Outside the faith like Lot's wife. Disciples were told in the passage we looked at last week, immediate preceding of this passage, remember Lot's wife. Remember her. The proximity to Lot did not save her. Proximity to Lot's worship of God, his righteousness, proximity to Abraham and his family and his household, proximity to the angels and them saying, get out and don't look back, none of that helped her. She was outside the faith. So will he find us outside the faith like her? Or outside the faith like this judge here? Outside the faith like so many that think that they might be in the faith, and yet the Lord says, I never knew you. So the question that we look at as we are pursuing, we are looking to do what God has laid out in front of us, that we are looking to right the wrongs in this world, that we are looking to fight against sin, to fight against injustice, to fight for justice, to stand up for the people that can't stand up for themselves, to make sure that all people created in God's image, not all children of God, but all people created in God's image, are worthy of dignity, respect, and justice, and deserve to have us stand up. And when we see something wrong, say, no, that is wrong. We can say that that's wrong without affirming that they're going to heaven. They still don't deserve to be treated like we're seeing them treated. And when we see it happening to our fellow brothers and sisters, when we see it happening within our own families, how much more should that passion drive us to stand up against that? When we see it inside the church, we see different things happening inside churches that authority figures are saying, no, this is how it has to happen. And if you don't listen to me, then you're not a Christian. If you don't act this way, if you tell anybody about my sin, well, then you're not saved and you're not a Christian. You can go away. That's happening in churches across this country. We see that. How much passion should we have to stand up against that? God's righteousness, God's holiness, God's justice will prevail. But he doesn't say wait for it. He says do what you can do now and rest in that it will take place. So always pray and never lose heart. And will he find faith when he comes back? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, there are so many examples in each and every one of our lives that we can think back to and set in place where this widow is fighting for an injustice that has happened to her. I pray that you help us to lock onto those things, to forgive where we need to forgive, to continue to seek justice and rightness where we are to continue to seek it, to let go of vengeance as an ideal and as a goal, and that we are to look to you. And if we are able to make that happen, Lord, thank you for granting us that drive, that ability, that the eyes to see that happen. And if we don't see it happen here in this world, Lord, thank you that you have given us the knowledge. that eternal justice will happen, that you are in control. You've already got it taken care of. Now we can rest in that knowledge. We can rest in you, Lord. Help us to always pray. Help us to never lose heart. Help us to stay faithful, and even when we don't see it in the world around us, that we stay faithful in your promises and your word and your truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to caseyholenchek.com. That's CaseyHolenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened this far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at caseyholenchek.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.